Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
That's always cute. How you guys doing? My dad is taking a break today. He's hanging out up at his house and up in the mountains and relaxing a little bit. So I guess that's my Father's Day gift to him. And I also got him something special, but I won't tell you because he could be watching online. So second service, I'm going to blab it. I'm going to tell everybody, but you guys don't get to know. I'm sorry. Certain things you guys don't get to know because it's first service and it goes out into the world. So no cussing. There's not going to be anything crazy going on first service. It's a joke. Thank you for laughing, that one guy. hopefully you guys are doing well. I know that Father's Day, it's funny, Mother's Day is historically one of the largest services that we have, and Father's Day is historically one of the smallest services we have. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's because fathers want to sleep in. I get it, right? That's what it is. And so they're going to watch online. So for all you fathers that are out there watching online today and you guys that made it today, happy Father's Day. I was thinking this morning, kind of reminiscing this morning about my dad. And I was thinking about all the good times I had when I was a kid and all the things that he did for me that I took for granted when you're a kid. You know, you just think, oh, parents are supposed to do these things for us as kids. And now that I'm a father, I know that it's work. It's work being a father, you know, and it's not as much work as being a mother, okay? I'm not even going to go there. But it is work, you know, and it is it takes effort. And to do those extra things, I was thinking about all the times my dad took me motorcycle riding or took me out in the middle of the forest. This one time, my dad, I'll tell you the story, has nothing to do with nothing, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. We were out, it was my 10th birthday, and my dad took us out my grandparents and my parents, they had this cabin up in the woods, and my dad said, hey, if you want to have your birthday party up here, do it, invite your friends. So I invite four or five of my little friends, and I remember so well, my dad had this old 4Runner, and he said, hey guys, why don't you pile in the 4Runner, we're going to go for a little drive, and it was nighttime. And so we were all excited. We're like, oh, we're going to go for a night drive in the mountains. Nothing more exciting when you're 10 years old, right? Because you don't know what you're going to see. So we pull into, we go on a dirt road for a little while. We stop and we all get out. And we all kind of huddle around. We're like looking around. And my dad turns the lights off and it's just pitch black. Like we're in the middle of the woods, pitch black. And I just remember my dad, probably shouldn't be telling a story, but it's funny. I remember my dad saying, what's that? What's that noise, guys? What's that noise? Do you hear something? And I don't think he heard anything, but we all got excited and scared and nervous because obviously there's some sort of a creature in the woods, right? And then my dad pulls out his gun and shoots it four times in the air. and I just remember thinking, you know what? My dad's going to take care of business if he has to, you know? lots of stories. Lots of fun stories. Let me share a couple more with you guys. When I was 19 years old, I was at church, and some of you guys have heard this story, so I apologize if you've heard it, but it's funny, so I'm going to share it again. I was in third service, and my dad was speaking, and at one point, I started to fade out of the sermon, and I started to think about what I was going to eat because I was starving, right? And it was third service. It was kind of getting kind of late, but I knew that I could still get breakfast at McDonald's if I made it by 10:30, right? Maybe it had been second service. It was a little earlier. So I'm looking at the clock, and I'm like, I can make it. I can totally make it. No problem. So I get out of service. I book it to my little Toyota truck. And I head to the McDonald's downtown. And I get into the drive-thru. It's like 10:20, right? I have plenty of time. The person in front of me is a little slow, no big deal. So I pull up to the drive-thru at about 10:25. And I say, I would like an egg excuse me, sir, can you hold on a second? Okay, sure, yeah, no problem. So I wait and I wait, and it's about 10:31, and she pops back on. Yes, sir, may I help you? I said, can I get an egg muffin? I'm sorry, sir, we stopped serving breakfast at 10:30. And I remember just losing my mind. So there's people in front of me, and there's people behind me in the drive-thru. And so I'm in this little Toyota truck. It's a little 4x4. I was like, you know what? There's a little curb right here. I'm just going to turn the wheel, and I'm going to get out of this drive-thru. So I turn the wheel, and I hit the gas. It was a stick shift, so I put it in first, hit the gas. And I go over, and what I didn't realize is the curb had a drop-off about 3 feet on the other side. So my little truck goes over and it just lands, it high centers on the side of this curb. So my truck is just teetering. Now, in the middle of this drive-thru, people in front of me, there's like people with their families, they're like hiding their, you know, putting their hands over their kids' faces, like, don't watch, this guy's crazy. So I'm like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. So I put it in first gear, and I slam the gas, and finally, as it teetered down, my tires caught traction, and I flew right into a bush. And I just put it in reverse and slowly backed off and drove away without my Eggman muffin. I just got back from vacation, and I'm going somewhere with all this, don't worry, but I just got back from vacation, and this year for vacation, my wife and I decided that we needed a little bit of alone time. It's been an interesting, you know, year and a half. It's been fun. I love my family. I love my kids, but we decided to leave the kids home for a few days, and we went down to Mexico. It was awesome. I loved it. I love Mexico, by the way. It's beautiful. The people are amazing. The food is amazing. It was just so relaxing. So for a few days, my wife and I sat by the beach, just hung out, relaxed, and it was nice. We slept in. No one told us when to wake up. There were no kids. It was nice, honestly. I know you're jealous. I feel bad. So then the next leg of the trip, we flew home, we grabbed the kids, and we took them to San Diego, and we went to SeaWorld, went to the zoo, and totally different trip, you know. I had my kids, I love my kids to death, but it's work, you know. It's like it's amazing how much stuff you have to take when you have kids. Like, when we went to Mexico, we had like one bag, you know, little side bag, you know. We were breezing through the airport, no big deal. Driving down to San Diego, we look like the National Lampoon's Vacation people, right? Like, we had we have a Subaru, and it looks like an old Volkswagen, just packed with stuff on top of it. Well, we decided to take our dog with us too, and I have this new puppy. I got a puppy a few months ago during COVID, and he's 6 months old now, and a cute little guy, a little silver lab, cutest dog ever. But he's got some problems. He's got some head problems, and so we decided to take him with us. I was like, babe, we should probably leave him here, board him, and she's like, no, we need to take him. We need to learn how to travel with this guy. And I'm like, all right, sounds good. So he's got a little problem, this guy. He doesn't go to the bathroom anywhere else but our own yard at all. So we take this guy down to San Diego. It takes us 8 hours to get there because there was an accident. We had to go through the desert. So we stopped probably 4 or 5 times to let this dog go to the bathroom, and he wouldn't do it. He just sniffs and sniffs and sniffs. And I'm like, okay, all right. So later that night, we get to the hotel, dog-friendly hotel, right? You pay a little extra for, I found out later why. But we get there, and I take him out and to go to the bathroom, and he doesn't go. Take him out again, doesn't go. It's late at night. I'm like, I'm going to take him out one more time. See, so I'm out there for like an hour. I'm not kidding. I'm out there for an hour with this dog, and I'm trying to get him to go to the bathroom, and he won't go. So I ended up just giving up. I said, you know what? He must not have to go. Maybe he didn't drink a lot of water. Like, I'll give him a ton of water tomorrow. He won't die. He'll be fine. So we go to bed, my wife and I, and the girls are asleep in the room, and I wake up wide awake at 5 a.m. to the sound of a dog going to the bathroom in the hotel room. So I'm like freaking out. I'm like, what's going on, right? So we take this dog out. So he ends up finally going to the bathroom in the hotel room, right? And I'm like frustrated. And so I'm like, babe, we need to board this dog really bad. So we end up taking him to a boarding place down in San Diego. And it was great. It was awesome. But then they call us a day later. They said, he's really bad. He's not listening. He's not doing it. I'm like, he's a puppy. What do you do, right? So he ended up going on lockdown at the place. And And so I end up picking him up later, and it's all good. It's fine. But this dog is really testing me, right? And I was thinking about all of these things, and I was thinking, you know what? What is a better thing to talk about today on Father's Day than patience? So that's what we're going to talk about today is patience. This is something I've been struggling with for a long time. A lot of times I like to talk about things that I've already figured out, and this is not one of those things that I've figured out. This is something that I am trying to figure out, is how to have patience. And I learned a few things in this teaching today, really important things. And so hopefully you'll learn a few things too. But that's what's cool about the Bible, right? You think you know what you're thinking, and then you open it up and read, and you actually study it, and you're like, okay, this is different. This is different than I thought. I'm going to start. Actually, let's pray. And thank you for bearing with me through those stories. But I like to talk about why I'm talking about what I'm talking about sometimes. But how many of you guys just say, hey, I need more patience in my life, right? Okay, I know. Believe me, I see you guys on the freeway. So I know that you need more patience. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I think that some of us are here today and we're doubting who we are. Lord, we doubt our purpose and place in this world. And Father, I just pray that we would be reminded that it's not about who we are alone, but it's about who we are in you. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand that, that you've called us by name, you've called us from birth, from before birth. Lord, that you know everything about us, and yet you still called us. Lord, we're still here. We're breathing. Blood is pumping through our hearts, through our veins. And because of that, Lord, we have purpose. Because of the fact that we live, we have souls, and that your spirit can work in and through us, Lord, we have purpose. And I pray that today we would have a better idea of what that means. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, talking about patience, there's this tool on Google that not a lot of people know about. It's called Ingram Viewer. Anybody know what I'm talking about, Ingram Viewer? What it is, it's a tool where Google, I don't know if there's just people that are bored there, they just make these things, but somebody went back and they found all the words written in books for the last century. And what they do is they show you the amount that these words are used over time. So there's these charts that I want to show you when talking about patience. So pull up the first one. So patience, it's hard to see, I know, for some of you guys, but this is the 1800 right here, and then this is like this is 2017. So what you see is patience kind of has like a normal kind of curve there, and then down in 1950, patience completely drops out in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and then it starts to become popular again in the last probably 15 years or so. And I think that's interesting because I think of baby boomers, right? And how baby boomers were raised by the generation of the 50s and 60s and how, no offense, but baby boomers do not, they're not known for their patience. I know because I have parents and it's just different. And I know that there's a struggle there. And so I think that the rise in patience in the last 10 years probably has to do with the use of the word patience, has to do with basically psychology and these different things. So the next one is hurry. Okay, so the word hurry kind of goes down, and then in the last 15 years, the word hurry just skyrockets. It's used in books quite often. The acronym ASAP, right, as soon as possible, not used at all until, I guess it's probably kind of introduced in probably the 70s or whatever, 60s, 70s, and it just spikes, and then it goes down, then it kind of goes back up. So ASAP. Don't you guys love it when people ask you to do something and they say ASAP? The word faster is the last one. It kind of goes up. So you see that in our language, in our vocabulary, we started to use these words faster, ASAP, hurry, and we start to feel that. How many of you guys remember the time way back in the day, in ancient times? How many of you guys remember before cell phones? Anybody? Yeah. So how many of you guys remember when cell phones first came on the scene? And you're like, I'm going to either take this with me or I'm not going to take this with me. It's my choice. I'm privileged. I have a cell phone, right? Then time goes by And now it's like people are upset with you if you don't have your cell phone with you, right? And they're more upset with you when you don't text them back right away and you don't call them right away. And that causes stress. That causes a feeling that I don't think that we should have to deal with. And so what I want to talk to you guys about really today is biblical patience. But in order to do that, I want to talk to you guys about the difference between cultural patience and biblical patience. It's really important that we understand that there's a difference between what we think is something and what the Bible teaches. Culturally, it's different. The vocabulary is different. It was written in a different language. But let's look at this first slide. So this is cultural patience. Cultural patience really is an emotional response to stress. And so if you're in a line at McDonald's and the lady says, you know, I'm sorry, breakfast stopped serving at 10:30. Obviously, as a 19-year-old young man, there were a lot of other things going on inside of me in order to flip out. I had already been pushed to the edge by other things, and this one last thing tipped me over the edge, and I acted completely insane. And so that's what I think when we think of cultural patience, we think of standing in lines, we think of waiting for food to cook before you eat it, we think of waiting for test results to come in, whatever it is, that's cultural patience. And really what that has to do with more so is it has to do with stress. And so this is the only time I'm going to spend on this cultural patience, and we're going to move on to biblical patience because that's why you guys are here this morning. But if you guys want to fix this problem, this stress problem, try to find the root of your stress and ask yourself, is this whatever is bothering you? First of all, you get to a point where you recognize what it is that's really bothering you, not the final straw, but the root of the problem. What is it that's really gnawing at you? And then ask yourself why. Ask yourself why. Why is this bothering me? And then think about the fact that you're here, you're breathing, blood is flowing through your veins, you're still alive. You have food on the table. There's so many things you do have. This one little thing hasn't taken you out yet. So be thankful for that, right? And then when the stress goes away, then this cultural patience situation is kind of fixed. But what I want to talk to you guys about today is something much different. And I learned this through this study, is that biblical patience is much different. Go ahead and put up that next slide for biblical patience. I have a few things to talk about with this. But the first thing is that biblical patience, the word in the Old Testament and the New Testament, basically means long-suffering, which means the ability to suffer through something for a long time. So to understand patience, biblical patience, you have to understand that it involves suffering, okay? And suffering comes in many forms. And it comes in many types, and there's intense suffering, and there's maybe simple suffering. I don't know, maybe a stomach ache is a simple suffering. Intense suffering would be like losing a loved one. And so there's lots of different types of suffering, but the biblical patience is to be able to get through that. And that's why we have Jesus Christ. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the gift from Christ, right? So that we can get through difficult times. And so if you have biblical patience, you're able to suffer long. You're able to get through things, right? Biblical patience is endurance. It's sticking with it. A while back, I did a sermon called "Stick With Itness," and I made up that term, obviously. But stick with itness, like if you have something in life, you should have stick with itness, no matter what. Just don't give up, right? Don't give up. And the third thing is perseverance, and it's just pushing through. Same thing, right? Same thing. So go ahead and go to the next slide. So biblical patience is basically feeling the pressure and the frustration of life, but moving forward anyway. Feeling it, okay, feeling it. How many of you guys have felt the pressures of life? You felt the frustrations of life. But what are your choices? Your choices are simple. It's either move forward, keep going, or give up. And people that have patience are people that just never gave up. They're not people that are perfect. It's people that never, ever gave up. Go to the next slide. So biblical patience is constant commitment to the long road. which actually takes you somewhere, right? Which actually takes you somewhere. So I want to share with you guys a story in the Old Testament about a guy named Jacob. And I'm just going to paraphrase for time. You can go back and read it. It's in Genesis chapter 29. Jacob was one of the patriarchs of the faith, right? Abraham was the first patriarch. God basically spoke to him and told him, I'm going to make a nation of you. I'm going to give you all these descendants. And Abraham was old. You know the story. And Sarah's wife was old. And God ended up giving him a couple of sons. One of his sons' names was Isaac, and Isaac had a son named Jacob. And Jacob also was spoken to, the same thing. God spoke to him and said, I'm going to make a great nation of you. I'm going to work through you. And so Jacob was a young man, and one day he was out in the field, and he saw this hot-looking lady named Rachel. And he wanted her, right? He's like, I want that chick. I want that lady. And so it was different back in the day. You didn't have to woo somebody or take them out on a date, take them to Starbucks first and then go from there, right? You didn't have to do that. Instead, you had to woo the father. You had to like talk the father into letting the daughter go, right? And so Jacob went to Rachel's dad and asked him for his daughter's hand in marriage and said, in turn, I'll work for you for 7 years. And the father Laban said, okay, sounds good. Deal, right? So Jacob works for 7 years to marry Rachel. And after the time comes, after he puts all this work in, and it says that it wasn't even work to him. It was so easy because he knew the prize. Like he knew what he was working for, right? And so he works. And then the wedding happens, and I don't know if he got drunk. I don't know what happened, but somehow the dad does a switcheroo and gives him the older, homelier-looking sister named Leah instead. And he wakes up the next day. He realizes it's Leah, and he's not happy. He's like, whoa, 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 this is not the deal. You gave me the wrong one. Laban comes back and says, well, this is the way it is in our culture. The oldest one has to be married off first, and Laban's kind of a shyster. So he's just like, hey, okay, all right, Jacob, so here's the deal. You work for me another 7 years. Now I'll throw in Rachel too, right? This is like crazy times, right? It's such a weird story. So Jacob, at this point, he's stuck, right? He's like, okay. Well, this guy's got me. I really love Rachel, so I guess I have to do this. So he ends up with one wife he wants and one wife he doesn't, and he ends up working for 7 more years. And then Laban keeps on kind of just cheating Jacob and kind of messing with him until one point Jacob's like, I'm out of here. I got to leave. And but Jacob worked the next 7 years. So he worked years and years and years for Rachel's dad. And I think that part of it had to do with love for Rachel, but I think that another part of it had to do with the dream that God gave Jacob. And you can find that dream in the previous chapter where God speaks to Jacob and tells him the same thing that he told his grandfather Abraham. It says, I'm going to make a nation of you. Your descendants are going to be as great as the seashore. So he basically, God gives him this dream and this purpose. And I don't think it's much different with us. I think that, you know, maybe it's not as grand for us. Maybe it seems simple, but I believe that God gives us all dreams. I believe that God gives us all these visions and these hopes. And over time, I think that it's easy for us to lose sight of those dreams, lose sight of those hopes. How many of you guys can just remember a time where you just felt like God gave you something and spoke to you and showed you something about yourself and about your life and about what he's doing through your life, about what he can do? I think that Jacob was able to endure and persevere even though he's being cheated because of the dream that God gave him, because of the hope. And he believed in God. He believed that God was doing something amazing and doing some work that was bigger than him, right? Jacob was a huge part of the story of the Israelites, and it became a huge part of our story as well because he never, ever gave up. So let's show this next slide. Biblical patience is keeping hope. It's keeping faith and keeping your eyes on God's mission. God's mission, right? Not ours, but God's. I think sometimes in our prayer time, if we're honest, right, we go to God and we say, Lord, please, you know, make something of my life. Or Lord, please, you know, show me what I'm supposed to, what am I supposed to do? What's my calling? What's my purpose in life? And I think that that's okay sometimes, but we forget to also ask God, what is your purpose? And how can I be a part of that? See, it's not necessarily about just us. It's about all of us, right? And it's about what God is doing through our lives. And so when hard times come, when difficult times come, when you have a bigger purpose in mind, it's easier to get through those difficult times because you know that God can use those difficulties. He can use those trials. He can use those tribulations to make something bigger out of your life than you could make on your own, right? God has a plan, and it involves you, but it also involves other people, and it also involves, you know, the histories, and it also involves the futures. God is amazing, and I want to be a part of his thing, right? You guys have heard the saying, you know, that person just wants to be a big fish in a little pond. And what that means is that some people want to be really important in a smaller group, and it's easier to become important in a smaller group. But for me, I've always wanted to be just a regular fish in a really big sea, and I want to go somewhere, and I want to see what God is doing, right? I want to see where God is leading us as a people, and it's so fun to me to look around and to see you guys and see what God is doing through your life and to recognize that God is working in your lives and to see how imperfect you are, but yet he's using you anyway. It's funny when you're in my position, people will always come to me all the time and tell me what's wrong with another leader. All the time. And it 99 out of 100 times, it goes in one ear and goes out the other because I know that people are imperfect. Right? If it's a big issue, I have to handle it, of course. But most of them are petty. Most of these issues are petty. They're little things. This person was rude to me. What? Okay, yeah, people are rude. That's just, unfortunately, that's the way it is. I'll talk to them. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't know. It just depends. But we're imperfect. You and I, we're imperfect. You know, I love this church because this is a church full of broken people, right? But a church of broken people that are being fixed by God, right? Like this sanctuary is, to me, is more like a garage. Like we are these hoopties, you know, roll in here and barely get here, and then we start to work, right? And then you leave, and then the work continues. We're broken people being fixed. If you think that you're already fixed, you're in the wrong church. I'm just telling you, right? That's the way it is. Look at the New Testament scripture. This is what we're gonna land today is James chapter 1, 2 through 4. It says, consider it all joy. Okay? Consider it joy. Like, actually be happy. Be stoked. Be pumped. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, the word, you don't see the word patience here, but you see the word endurance, which is the word that they used for the word patience. So when it says that the testing of your faith produces endurance, really it produces biblical patience. When you're tested, something's happening, right? When you endure, right? And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete. The word perfect there doesn't necessarily mean spotless or blameless or without blemish, but the word perfect there means mature. See, God is doing something in us, and we're growing, but we're only growing when we go through difficult times. The word endurance or patience, the Greek word is hupo, comes from the Greek word hupomino, which means to stay under, to remain, to undergo, or to bear. But think about that, to stay under, when the pressure comes, to not bail. When it gets difficult, to not give up. And I look around and I see people that I've seen every single Sunday, this general section right here specifically, you guys haven't given up. You haven't given up. I don't know what's going on with your lives, you know, but you haven't given up. You're still here. That is a trait that we all should have. Don't give up, no matter what. No matter what, don't give up. Even when you are feeling really low and really sad and really frustrated with yourself. How many of you guys know that your biggest fight and your biggest battle in this world is not with people, other people? It's not with, people that want to put you down, but it's with yourself, right? I mean, the Bible teaches us that there's these spiritual forces, but we have to allow the spiritual forces to attack us. We have to allow them. And I've seen so many people throughout the years leave, bail on church. And it's not that they're leaving this church and going to another church and getting plugged in. That's fine if people need to do that. But it's that they leave the church structure because their feelings were hurt. And what happens is the devil just waits for those people. He's like, oh, sweet. I've got a sheep that's leaving the fold. I'm going to get that one. And I've seen it happen over and over and over and over. And then the years go by, and they sometimes never fully recover. That's why it's our job as a church to go after those that you see giving up, right? To go after them. Say, hey, come back. Get back. It's not about church attendance. It's about connection. It's about relationships. It's about saying, hey, brother, hey, sister, I see that you are starting to fall back. I see that you're starting to fall away. Come back. You're not perfect. We're not perfect. Come back. As you come back, your perspective might change, right? So I was trying to figure out how to end this this service, but I think I'll end it here. I've been on vacation. I end up watching TV a little bit, and I've been kind of into these like mob shows, cartel shows. I don't know why. I like them. I like learning about the mob and the cartels. I'm like, how do they work? Interesting. And the one thing that I learned recently is that the one who has nothing in the cartel or the mob is the one you have to fear, because they've got nothing to lose. They're scary people, right? They're backed into a corner and they'll do anything, and it usually gets ugly, right? And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, I know this is weird, but I was thinking about that in terms of Christianity and how Jesus laid down his life, right? And he really gave everything over, and because he had nothing, because he gave everything, he was dangerous in a different way. You see, Jesus sacrificed his whole entire life for us. Not only did he sacrifice his life, he sacrificed his righteousness. He took upon himself sins he did not commit. He took upon himself the blame for all the things that we've done. He took upon himself the burdens of the sins of every single person that's ever lived. And Philippians 2, 5 through 9 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him. Highly exalted him. God highly exalted Jesus because he emptied himself. Highly exalted because he emptied himself. You see what I'm saying? If we lay down our wants, if we lay down our desires, if we lay down the things in life, it's okay to enjoy the things that God gives you, the blessings, the gifts. It's Father's Day. Go barbecue. Have that meat. Enjoy it. Okay, enjoy life. Yes, when it comes, when the gifts come, enjoy it, but don't hold on so tightly to life that it keeps you from real life. See, when we let go of everything, all of a sudden, we are in a place where we can trust God in everything. Right? And when we do that, it's much easier to have true biblical patience. When things don't go your way, it's okay. When things don't work out the way you want them to work out, that's okay, because that's God working somehow. You have to trust him and believe and say, you know what, God, things aren't working out for me right this second, yet I'm still here, I'm still breathing, I still have food in my belly. You've taken care of me, so I just trust you. I just trust you. And the people that have that attitude, when they're in line at a McDonald's, and the time turns to 10:31, and the lady says, I'm sorry, breakfast is over, they say, okay, I'll take a cheeseburger, right? So that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about today. And the reason that this matters is because we are witnesses, right? I've noticed also that people will listen to what we say sometimes, but they're always watching how we act. And if we are patient people, if we are strong, if we are people who don't let the little things of this world wreck us, people are going to see that strength and they're going to wonder, what is that strength? So live on the strength that is Christ. Live on the strength that is him, that's bigger than you, that's stronger than you, right? Don't live on your own strength, right? I'm speaking to myself just as much as I'm speaking to everyone else today. I need to get back to fully relying on him because he's the one that does it all, right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. And Lord, I just pray, God, that everyone would have a great day today. It's hot, but I pray that we would have a good day. Lord, I pray, God, that we would trust you in everything. I pray, Lord, that you would take the stresses, the things that we're worried about. Lord, I pray that you would give us the ability to let go of those things, and then you would take them. Lord, we offer those to you. We also offer our lives. We offer our breathing selves to you, God. I pray that you take our hearts, you take our minds, you take our will, and you just use us, Lord, and just take us where you want us to go. Lord, use us for your will to accomplish what you're doing. Lord, we thank you. I love you, Lord. If there's anybody here that needs to give your life to you for the first time, I pray they would do that today, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you guys need prayer, come up here and get prayer from one of the pastors. And I love you guys. I will see you soon.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.